All right, answering some group questions today. I put a post up. I'm going to try to do that daily. If you guys really want something answered, just write in, and I will get to that subject. And rather than give you something you don't need, I'd rather help everybody understand what they're questioning about or what they're wondering. And a lot of guys get confused with some of the things they're seeing here on these videos. And I'm really trying to be clear for everybody. The first thing we're going to do is make a phone call to a guy who wrote into me within about 5 minutes ago. It was good timing, and he has a question. So I'm going to we're calling from a different phone. We're actually doing Facebook Live from my phone. Let's see. Put him on speaker. It says calling. There we go. Let's see what his question is. We can answer it. All right, dude. It's not my cell phone number, but don't say your name. But we're Facebook Live because I'm doing it from myself. So, dude, pop the question. I know that I gave you a brief answer before, but I'm going to try to go into detail for you. And I'm sure that if you're asking this question, it can be valuable for everybody in the group. So, and again, it's a little bit of a cliche conversation because I'm trying to clarify for other people who are not engaged in what we've already previously talked about.
Absolutely. How do you want me to phrase the question? Just, hey, you know, guys make a pet stop lawfully. You know, guy doesn't have ID on him, produces the name. Oh, can they still search him legally for ID?
Okay, so when you say a pet, so like a lot of times when questions are posed, it's hard to try to like, without me being there, if this is an actual situation, like what's the surrounding circumstances? What's the totality of the circumstances? Like, is it a pet stop? Like, you guys literally just stopping and harassing people like Gestapo?
Whatever for a guy with a knife, and his kid comes down the street, and he's hooting and hollering.
Okay, so hold on, real quick. Hold on. Can you hear me? Hold on. You said you got a call for a man with a knife.
No. We had a call for a man with a knife, and it was reported that he's in the woods somewhere. And we're like, we're looking for the woods. We were clearing, and then all of a sudden, this kid rolls up on a bike, and he's hollering at us, telling, you know, fuck cops, fuck you, fuck this. And I'm like, hey, you know, knock it off. Meanwhile, he's on a bike with no light. No audible device.
Was it at night?
Brakes. No, it wasn't at night, but no audible device, and I didn't charge for that. No brake lights, no helmet, you know, just the stupid shit. So I'm like, yo, stop. And he's like, nope, and he keeps on pedaling. So I knew I already had him under arrest there, right? So we go down the street, and we stop him. Like, yo, man, what's your problem? Blah, blah, blah. We check him out. And my buddy's like, I'm like, what's your name? He's like, I don't have ID. My name's Xavier Taylor. I was like, you have no ID? My one partner's like, I'm going to search him for ID. I was like, go ahead and search him, but I was already like, he's under arrest anyway for obstruction. So, like, I know he's under arrest for obstruction for leaving and trying to, you know, get away from us on the place.
Well, let me pause you right there real quick. Let me just jump in there. In my opinion, you were making a – and let's just be clear. You were making a motor vehicle stop for a violation. You told him to stop. He ran. It was obstructing administrative law.
Yes, correct. Cool. That's exactly
so you,
exactly
you right could search him at – I mean, like, you're going to arrest him. You could search him at that point.
Yeah, then the discussion came up, well, can't – and the guy was like – I was like, yeah, you know, listen, you know, on body cam, you're heard saying – now, can I search him for just ID? I was like, no, you can't just search him for ID. He goes, really? I mean, you can search for registration, insurance card in a car, and I said, that's a whole other world.
Okay, hold on. Yeah, hold on a second. And by the way, just so we're not giving people bad information, you can't search for insurance card. You can search for registration only.
Registration, sorry. Yeah, you're correct. I'm glad I have you on here.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, obviously, you know, I was concerned because I'm like, hey, look, you can't do for just the ID. He's like, I realized, like, no, if anything, you saw the bolts, you're checking for a weapon, if anything. And there was a bolt there. He actually pulled a knife out off this kid, and we locked him up for the knife, and he had some other shit on him, which was just being stupid.
Did you give him the ticket for the Title 39 violation?
Oh, yeah. He got a bunch of them.
Good.
He was a 16-year-old little prick, and I even added, like I said, that no helmet.
Yeah, oh, nice. I was going to say, yeah, did you get him for the no helmet?
Oh, yeah, dude. I hit him with everything. I got no qualms on that. You know what I mean? Yeah. So, but, you know, the discussion came up, well, couldn't I just search them for ID anyway? I was like, you know, no, you can't just search them for ID. You have to use other means, like, you know, check them, NCIC, you know, all the database. And I told him about, you know, the recent stuff you had on there with, you know, it's a 39 violation. So if he doesn't have the proper equipment or the proper ID and things aren't coming back on file, then we could take them back.
Yes.
And go that route. We arrested him for the 39 violation. Yes. They were like blown away by this. I was like, oh, hold on, let me show you this video. And I was like, you know, happily, your recent video was on it. And I was like, look, here it is. And they were all like mind blown on that. And I was like, you know, this guy, I follow him on Facebook. You got to follow him. He knows what he's talking about. And I said, I'll ask him. you know, right now, what he thinks about that. Because I said, I don't have, they're like, well, what's the case law on the idea? I said, I don't know. I said, I don't know what it is. I don't think you can. I'm pretty sure you can, but I'm glad you at least supported me on that one. But
so let's talk about a few different situations, right? Like, one, it's going to be a hard, hard to imagine that you guys are literally just walking down the street and hitting dudes randomly for ID, and then if they don't have it, you know, you want to get it. I could see that. I can't imagine that's something common. So
that's not that's
hypothetically. Not I mean, what you're asking at the very basic level is probably never going to happen. Where you're going to have a guy. I mean, what's the guess? Like, so let's take a pedestrian. Let's talk about a few different scenarios. You have a pedestrian. He's walking. Maybe you think he's a strange dude, right? Maybe you think he's a strange guy. Maybe he becomes a person of interest because he's having a reaction to your presence when he sees you. Something doesn't add up from what he's doing. It's just a little bit more than just Joe Schmo walking down the street, you know, swinging his arms and singing "It's a Beautiful Day." The first thing I would do is before I even engage him, the better you get with pedestrian traffic law. If you could follow him for a little bit or watch him a little bit, see if
jaywalking. Yeah. We do a lot of pedestrian traffic cool. all around here a lot. We're a big walking community. All our scumbags are on foot. We hit that up. You know, not using the sidewalk, being on, you know, all that good shit.
If you approach the guy, and I mean, I always tell people a good tactic is to engage somebody with a handshake, right? Hit him with a handshake and introduce yourself. And that really compels people to stay and talk to you. I mean, guys are like, well, I don't shake hands. On the job, bro. Like, you don't shake hands, but your face is in somebody's ass 3 hours ago. You know what I mean? Like, on your personal life. Give me a break.
Right.
You know what I mean? So so give it a handshake, engage it, introduce yourself, maybe use your first name. I would do things like, hey, man, I'm Dennis. How are you? Nice to meet you. And guys will engage you, like, instead of being like, no, I'm not talking to the cops. But again, if you don't have anything, remember, you can always, as a constitutional right, you can always do something called a mirror inquiry where you just talk to people. That's
absolutely.
It. You can you can actually ask for identification without any purpose, but you couldn't compel it. And that kind of varies from situation to situation. Like right now, are you going to like a fight call and the guy's a witness, or is he, you don't know if he's involved? Can you hold him?
If I had reasonable suspicion for a violation, I can compel ID, right? I mean, I'm not wrong there. Like, hey, I stopped you for a reason. You need to give me ID or name, date of birth. You need to identify yourself for...
Well, when you say reasonable suspicion, I think that's a really vague term. I think you'd have to really, each case can be very specific to what the outcome of it is, to what the initial circumstances are. So
we'll just say 39. I believe that you did something wrong, Title 39.
Once. Yeah, so they're like, you got them because they're going to have to give you ID. They have to give you ID, but right. You can't search people. Like, you're just going to get him incident to arrest if he's not giving you his information. Then you're going to be able to search him. So that's it. It's just going to reverse it a little bit. So it's just... It just depends what the circumstances are, and dude, really comes down to just knowing what you can and can't do. I think I give you guys, even through this conversation, I think people are going to get value out of this, knowing what they can do now and using something similar. I mean, we've had guys who've come up with some great stuff on pedestrian traffic stuff.
Yeah.
So it's just, dude, honestly, it's a hard question to answer.
Yeah, I know.
Regarding
that's what I was like, dude, I don't even know how to properly answer it to the guys and be like, oh, shit, you know what I mean? Like, so again, it's like, just sent you the message, hey. You know, what's the deal on that?
And my advice is, like, try to get them on a Title 39 pedestrian, or and for the people who are watching in this video who aren't from New Jersey, mm-hmm. Title 39 is motor vehicle violation pedestrian. You have it in your law, too, as well. But I would get it. I would try to get them on a Title 39 first. So this way you basically got them. You know what I mean? If not, like I said, the only tactic you come up with is like the engagement, the handshake, the trying to be friendly and trying to elicit some information from them, or you know, kindly requesting some identification and, you know, see what you got from there. I don't know. Like, it's hard. You know, it's hard to figure out exactly. But just stopping people and searching them for ID, you can't do that.
Right. Okay.
So, cool, man. Great conversation.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
Yeah, you got it, brother. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Take care. All right. So also we have some group questions that we have to answer as well. It's a good phone call there. Hopefully you guys get some value from that. I got an email in from, I'm not going to say his name, but I'm going to answer it in this video. So I will respond back to you. Greg, I'll say, and you can check this video out and we'll be addressing your question next. So Greg writes in, Two questions. I know you spoke on both of these issues several times, just a little unsure. Cool, man. It's great. Like, that's what I'm here for, to try to help you clarify and understand what this is. I literally sit here and read case law all day, so I'm trying to, like, give you guys as much value as possible. And it's really important that you know that I take it very seriously to be the guy that you guys come to make sure I'm giving you the right information. And if I don't feel like I have the right information, or I don't know what I'm talking about, or I'm unsure of it, and I'm not 100%, I won't give you advice on it. So anything you're getting from me, I'm 100% positive on. To this day, we still have not gotten somebody coming back to us or to me who said that, oh, I was in trouble. You know, you told us to do that. I got in trouble. And then we're 5 years in the making teaching now. So I think actually within a couple of days with my 5-year mark, my first class that I did. But anyway, under New Jersey 39525, you're only allowed to arrest for motor vehicle offense when you are unable to positively identify the person or other factors exist. For example, the accused failed to respond to a summons in the past and you were unable to positively identify the accused. I know that State versus Pierce addresses this, however. It states that the court should issue a summons rather than arrest unless the other factors exist. I guess what I'm asking is, can you arrest someone for, let's say, failure to use signal when you know who they are and they provided all information? No, you cannot. The court will not allow you to make an arrest for somebody with identification, and it's a minor violation. So let's take two sides of it. We have with identification here, right? What can you arrest when you have somebody with identification and you know who they are? And the answer to that is 450, 340, 310, 4-49.1, CDS and motor vehicle. Those are considered serious offenses. And you can read the case law regarding State versus Pierce 1994. It's a New Jersey case. And then you can follow up with Lark. And I'll put it in this video as well, the verbiage. So whoever's searching this in the group, you can search in the group to find videos that will help you. If you actually go to search, the search function in the group, you can find videos. We put a lot of language in and a lot of, reference words, so you can find these videos and makes it easier for you. But yeah, you can't. That's the only time you can make that arrest for that, when it has to be a serious offense. Now, take it to the other side, when it's any offense under 3 or 4, chapter 3 or chapter 4, title 39. Now you can, and the person doesn't have ID and you can't figure out who they are and they're subject to a summons. Now you can arrest because you don't know the person's whereabouts, you don't know who they are, you think they're not going to show up to court for a summons. Now you can make that arrest. So know the difference. With ID, serious offenses only. Without ID, any offense in 3 or 4. And that should clear it up. Second question. When a canine indicates on a motor vehicle with the driver as the sole occupant, can the driver be searched? Okay, so that's the second question. So it goes back to State versus Judge. There is no case law on this, but again, it doesn't mean because there isn't case law, the procedure of what's being done is correct or incorrect. And I'm not telling anybody to do anything that's outside the comfort zone, but let's take this mindset for a second. You have a case called State versus Judge. If the odor of marijuana is detected in a motor vehicle, all subjects are to be searched because they could very well be hiding the product of the smell of marijuana on their person. The only difference between you and a dog is they can just smell a little bit more than you can. So if they're detecting narcotics, I believe Judge still applies, and I would say you would search that person at that junction. Now, I would think that's a reasonable expectation regarding Judge and how you would apply it. We just haven't had any case law that's been approached, but a lot of people in this state, when that does happen, including bags that were taken out of the car, have been searching and finding things, and it's been prosecuted that way. From what I've been told so far. So that would be my advice to you. Hopefully that brought you some value, Greg. And may I also be seeing you soon. The 2-day class will certainly help you out and clarify a lot of things. All right, let's see. Now the questions that guys asked, as I posted earlier today, linking to a pedestrian stop near a car and then finding a way to get a search warrant. Look, you just have to find the correlation. I know the story behind this. They found a gun on a guy. Then he said he came in a car. They found a car. Consent to search. Trying to elicit statements legally through Miranda about the car and then bringing that before an assistant prosecutor, unfortunately, and seeing that if they find that to be credible enough to apply for a search warrant. Remember, you have to go through an AP first before you call a judge. You got to get creative with something like that. You got to figure out the way you're going to do it. So it's kind of vague. It just depends what you can find that ties back to the car. But always going for consent first. Is okay. And then if you found the gun, someone, they said they came here in that car with it, it's more than reasonable suspicion. It's difficult, man. It's just, you got to really make the timeline make sense. All right, picking spots. I'm going to come back to that one because it's going to be a little bit more of a conversation on that. Mike Palm, any chance how to get rid of this burn? Mike, stop masturbating with Icy Hot, and you'll be fine, brother. Clayton Michael, canine is never really an option on my shift. Asking for consent, search techniques. Clayton, let me tell you something, brother. I probably my whole career called for a dog. If so, maybe 10 times in all that time. And the question is why? Why was it only 10 times? Because my attitude on a motor vehicle stop and the quick relationship I could develop with somebody through my communication and the way I sounded and the way I explained things and how polite I was and not sounding like an asshole, people were very compelled to work with me. I can almost make it sound like, look, it was going to happen inevitably. So your communication and the ability to not sound like a dickhead on a motor vehicle stop is key and paramount. And you'll find that you won't have to call canine units all the time when people like you and they realize the jig is up. But Clayton, I think that if you're in New Jersey, brother, I don't know if you are or anywhere, my advice to you is have a canine plan. I would certainly look around to see who has canines available. Like guys in New Jersey, like, well, our canine guy's not, God, he fell, you know, he doesn't work between these hours. I'm like, yeah, but the guy next to you in the next town over has a dog. We have the state police. They have dogs. The sheriff's department has dogs. So check your SOPs and, you know, run it by your boss and have a canine plan in place because it's a really important tool to have. That's my advice to that. Chris Michael, finding an open container in a vehicle in regards to searching it for other open containers, alcohol, and finding other shit as in drugs and guns and whatnot. Is the open container PC to search a vehicle? It's not because it's not inherently illegal. So when you have State versus Ireland, a 450 or a DWI arrest, once that product of intoxication or, you know, once the intoxication is deemed to be good, like you're failing field sobriety, that then allows you to go into the car and search for containers. But it has to be that violation first. Open containers of alcohol doesn't give you a right to begin to search a car for more open containers of alcohol because inherently alcohol is not illegal. And it's been brought up, well, what if it's underage? And that's, you know, you get into different stories then. So that's a good answer to that question. You can always ask for consent to search, brother. Don't get people really shouldn't get hung up on. Let's see. Now, as far as other drugs and guns and whatnot, yeah, you can do, but do consent. Like when in doubt, ask for consent to search. Don't get hung up on the reasonable suspicion and how much you have. And I had a really good case come out of a guy who had an open container in a car, and that permitted me to ask for consent to search. It was never challenged. And again, don't get hung. I don't think people get. I mean, I've seen one case where they got caught with a lot of stuff, and they challenged the RAS, and the police lost. But it just doesn't happen that often. Don't get too hung up on it. Let's see what Ian writes back. Ian's special, like in an Ed kind of way. Okay, so I'm not going to get into that. I have to read it further. Let's see. And Morgan, my buddy. So the other night I just finished dinner with the local PD and was getting back on the road. He's from a different state. Pulling out, was watching a few vehicles pass by me. Late model Cavalier passed with single occupant, white female driver. She gave me the stare. She was in the left lane, switched over to the right, then turned onto the bank parking lot without using an adequate turn signal. I proceeded down the road and turned to the pharmacy. Not even 5 seconds later, here she comes. I stopped her, get her out of the speak with her, and watch her body language, of course. Based on actions and response to general questions, I went down to ask if there was anything narcotics in the vehicle. She said no. Then I asked again, if there's any marijuana, no cocaine, no heroin, no meth, no. Now I'm thinking, based on the longer response to the heroin question, that was it. She told me if I wanted to search, go ahead, and I immediately accepted her gracious offer. Couldn't find anything. She came back, suspended DUI related. That could have been a big clue, the suspended DUI related. You will have the same reactions to your presence when somebody is suspended driver, unlicensed driver, something simple like that. She told me if I wanted to search, go ahead. Okay, so she came back. Okay, she went on to tell me later that her mother has a heroin problem and is in prison for it. Did I miss something? Do you think the heroin-specific question triggered something in her head? Sorry for the problems her mother has to cause her to answer this one differently. Sorry for the long post. No, it's all good, dude. Appreciate it. And Paul wrote, check her bra. Paul, stop it. Just come to class. You need help, buddy. Sorry, dude, you just do. Again, like I said, you'll have the same reactions when somebody has a suspended driver's license or it's hard for me to have been there. You searched, bro. Like, you know, people are sometimes like, oh man, I knew it was there, but we didn't find it. I'm like, look, you know, it wasn't 40 kilos. You know, if she had something stuck down her pants or in places where only her boyfriend's permitted or her significant other, like, what are you going to do, man? Like, you're not going to start doing strip searches, spreading cheeks on the side of the road. So You know, you keep swinging. Sometimes you miss. Sometimes you crack home runs. Sometimes you hit singles. Sometimes you hit doubles. But if you're not at the plate swinging, you're not going to hit anything. All right. Enrique, New Jersey dealer plates. How do I ID them when you're out of state? Sometimes our system has no record of them. How do I ID them when you are out of state? Or probably what they mean is they out of state. You got to really look into that, brother. If anybody can answer that question for him. I guess you're running out of state dealer plates and you're not getting a registration on them. They should have cards with them, I'd imagine, and where they come from and all that stuff. I don't know. So can't answer that one. Sorry, Enrique. My bad, brother. I think you're in NYPD, too. Oh, NJ dealer. Okay, so you're NYPD, dude. All right, NJ dealer plates, how do I do them when they're out of state? Sometimes they're call New Jersey town and see if they'll help you out. Hey, it's Enrique. We're good. You know, it's Enrique from the state police. Give us a call. And see if they can run it for you. There you go. Simple answer. Keith Henry, you make an arrest for being unlicensed driver because the operator is a foreign national, no DL. Question, at what point do we release him after fingerprinters just release ROI providers and have warrants? Let's see. Why would you lock him up for 310? And that's what the other thing. That's not me. It's somebody else. And he goes, some departments will still arrest for 310, 340. It's true. My department would kill us. Chris Michael. Okay. Yeah, so Keith, really, it just depends on what the feel is for the situation. Like, did you get a guy, like, you know, you fingerprinted him. His prints returned, you know, you're going to bring him. If you're making the arrest for that, his prints returned with nothing on him. You know, he's not like a deported felon. Like, you could always call a judge and say, Your Honor, we got this guy driving unlicensed. What do you want us to do with him? Do you want to, because a judge can place bail on somebody. I mean, again, with bail reform, remember, guys, I didn't work under bail reform. Thank God. But you could always call a judge and run that past him. Hey, this is what we got, Your Honor. What do you think? What do you want us to do with him? And they may say, like, yeah, put, you know, put $150 bail on him. Or what's a 310 ticket cost? What, $200? Yeah, make him pay $200 bail. So when he doesn't show up, he forfeits the bail money and the state gets the money. Woo! Good video today. I feel real good about it. If you guys need anything from me, reach out. Check out streetcoptraining.com. A lot of classes coming up in 2018. Our first class of the year will be Bergen County Police Academy, the 16th and 17th of January. The follow-up, we're going to be in Rowan in February. Monmouth County again in March. For the guys who are in the group, if you're part of this membership, I'll be in Hobart, Indiana, which is an hour south of Chicago, February 26th and 27th. It's a free course if you're part of their membership out there. So we have spots for 60 guys in that. They've just prepaid for the course. And then Morris coming up, and I'll be scheduling more one days for the guys who, if there's anything I can do for you, please reach out to me. And I'm throwing that out there because, and listen, if anybody wants to come and do a live video with me and pose questions or want to give testimony on video here of how Street Cop Training was able to impact their life, whatever, or they have questions they want to pose in person, or if you want to make a phone call to me, let me know. Let's do it. Phone calls are cool. You see the guys remain anonymous, and we're working on some cool shit for the future, so stay tuned, guys. I'll see you tomorrow.